In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. John the Baptist, what a character. Came from nowhere out of the desert in a world not unlike our own in 2018. Things weren't going well. Corruption, vice, the Christian church, the Judaism had its problems. There was dissent. And John comes out of the desert preaching his baptism of repentance. You need to change your ways. You need to change your direction because there's one coming who is going to teach you, to redeem you, to show you a new way of life. Like today, many people must have wanted to hear that message. Because countless people responded, went out to the banks of the River Jordan, and were baptized by John. And as his popularity grew, so the dissent from the people that were at the heart of the corruption, their hatred grew. And he must have crossed paths at some time with Herod, who Herod comes up later on in the Gospels. And he must have given Herod a bit of a dressing down because he had taken Herodias as his wife, who was his brother Philip's wife, until she became his wife. He says, you can't do this. This is against the law. It's immoral. And Herodias was very upset. How dare he? So she prevailed upon her husband, and John finds himself in prison on her insistence. But then we see that Herod sees in John the Baptist something that's a mystery. And it says in the Gospel he tried to protect him in prison. Now this story I've just read you, the beheading of John the Baptist, not the most pleasant reading for an early Sunday morning, but it's exactly what happened. What I want to do this morning is look at the story behind the story. How did it come about? Now, this story clearly portrays all that is wrong in human nature, all that is wrong in fallen human nature. And it's all exploited in this simple story. Herod had John in prison. Herod must have had a problem. As we know, alcohol problems and debauchery was as common then, or more common then, than it is today. So he has this great birthday party. And they all feast and drink throughout the night. And then Herodias' daughter comes in and dances. And Herod's second problem emerges, that of lust. And if we look at the world today, sexualism is exploited so much and is the most beautiful gift that God implanted into his creation. And you know, not only into the human race, but the whole of nature has a sexuality because it's all about the continuing of God's magnificent and beautiful creation. But whatever God brought into being can be exploited, and we see this happening today in the world that we live in. And it happened at this occasion. Herod is filled with lust. He's had too much to drink. He's big timing himself, and he says to this beautiful young woman, I'll give you anything to dance, even up to half my kingdom. And so she runs out to see her mum. She probably was only 14 or 15 or 16. And here her mum has her opportunity. Ask for John the Baptist's head. So she goes back to Herod and said, give me John the Baptist's head on a plate. Herod was trapped. And rather amazingly, almost 4 years later, we find Pontius Pilate in the same situation. If you remember the passion narratives, Pontius Pilate was the one person who knew that Jesus was innocent and wanted to release him. He was fascinated by what Jesus had to say. But when all the chips were down, when Pontius Pilate went to the crowd and they demanded the death of Jesus, he didn't have the moral fortitude to say no. He gave in to the will of the crowd. And so John is beheaded because Herod did not have the courage to say, no way, this is a wrong choice. I'll stand up against my wife. And it didn't happen. And so John the Baptist is beheaded and his disciples come and bury him. All these things portray the reason for Jesus Christ coming into the world. It spells out that we as humans are imperfect. We have a tendency to do what is wrong. And without God, we follow that path. And we see that in the world today, where so many people are led down the paths of self-destruction. And my fear for the future is, and I'm always a very positive person, is that the further we drift away from the belief in God, the greater risk this human race has of self-destructing. Because we take conscience out of the equation of what is right and what is wrong. And then the power of evil can manipulate our fallen human nature. Jesus comes into the world in all his simplicity for many reasons. I don't want to go into the theological ones this morning, but what I want to really share with you is a role model. A role model. Being able to live life through the eyes and life of Jesus Christ. And it is so incredibly simple. You think about his life. Wherever he went, with whom he met, he was always the encourager. He always lifted people up. The sinners, the publicans, even the woman taken in adultery. When she says to Jesus, "Don't you condemn me? I deserve to be condemned." Jesus says to her, "No, my dear, go your way. But there is an injunction, and sin no more." He gives her her second start, her second chance in life. And his relationship with the disciples, boy, did they get it wrong on many occasions, especially Peter. But he never cut them off. He always restored them, encouraged them, and lifted them up. And it's because of his attitude towards the disciples, a lifestyle that he portrayed, that you're sitting in church on this cold Sunday morning in 2018. That's why you're here. The Christian faith is only ever grown by attraction. Even in Acts it says, when the church was first born, the people that were watching this new phenomena said, "See how these Christians love one another." It was so unique how they shared this love, this encouragement as the alternate lifestyle of dog eat dog and only successful succeed. And so down through the history of our faith, we have been the encouragers of society. And I believe that God is speaking to us in our own generation of the great need. And I want to share some thoughts about what happened in Thailand over this past week. And not all of you are going to agree with what I'm going to say, but that's okay. It's my humble opinion. But I want to read the opening of our collect today. Eternal God, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the splendour of creation and in the beauty of human life. Help us to cherish the gifts that surround us, to share our blessings with our sisters and brothers. The events in Thailand almost stopped the world, It made the World Soccer Championships into insignificance. The only team everyone was barracking for was the Wild Boars. These 13 young people trapped in a cave. And we saw the world gather. And we saw a million pictures. And it all centred really on many people. But the real hero was that young coach. You stop and think about it. How he held those 12 boys together in 10 days of darkness in the bottom of a cave is beyond imagination. But he was a Buddhist. He is a Buddhist. So where was God involved in this? Sadly, there are some people would say that only Christians have access to God. Only Christian prayers are valid, sadly. That we have a mortgage over God. I don't believe we do. God works inside his institution. I make no mistake, I believe all the claims of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I believe all the teachings about Jesus, but the kingdom of God is much broader than that. I can't imagine anybody like me being able to do for those 12 boys what that young Buddhist could do. Through his training as a Buddhist monk, he had this power of meditation. And he must have been able to take those boys into a peace that you and I don't even understand or comprehend. So perhaps God was saying to us, we have things to learn. We need to take stock of all the goodness in life. And if we look at Islam, which causes immense pain, but perhaps we should look at the commitment of ordinary members of Islam, because their commitment is great. Their belief in God is absolute. And we might believe at times it is misdirected. And the world at this time needs to look at the whole total of goodness in the world today and see the activity of God in that. I mean, I'll remember the rest of my life that boy they showed over and over again in prayer with his hands together, all those people out the front all praying together. And the outcome was just unbelievable. That word was actually used. And everybody said this couldn't happen, but it did. The hand of God was so present, granting them peace and comfort and certainty, the uniqueness of gathering of people. And one thing I've been so pleased about, every one of the Australians, everybody that has been involved have given credit to the Thais who led the release of those people. And that's tremendous. Nobody's taken credit for themselves. And that, once again, the guy that did the coordinating, all of those things. And so I want to send you away with a thought that's in yesterday's paper. When it was all over, they had a press conference. And there was hundreds of press reporters. And some of the press reporters asked the coordinator, what would you have done if those pumps had failed while the boys were still trapped in the cave? How would you have dealt with that? And there was an audible laughter or through all the Buddhist people. He said, but they're free. They're free. In Buddhism, once an event is over, You don't speculate what might have gone wrong. It's just not part of our culture. Now, as we sit here this morning before God, how many things in our past, in many ways, do we still need to deal with that still inflict pain that wouldn't exist if we adapt to this? Once the event is over, we're in the present and the future. And that's a fantastic gift. I've partially got it. I have partially got that gift of every day is a new day. Yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. I've only got to cope with that and enjoy today. And if you have a bad day, today will be yesterday, tomorrow. That's my own adaptation of that. And it's true. It is so true. That's why I can come out and enjoy worship with you guys. Everybody says I should be probably in bed. But that's okay. It gives a quality of life. It's the fulfillment of Jesus' words. My peace I give unto you. My peace I give. Jesus gives peace. And every time I bless a congregation, the peace of God passes all understanding. And peace is the greatest quality you can find. And peace is being set free from the past, having your eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, in anticipation of our entry into the kingdom of God to feast at the heavenly banquet, which from this side of the grave we don't fully understand. That is the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so, Father, we pray for your blessing upon this congregation. Fill us with the peace that you promised we may live together as one family under your sovereignty.